This is TWiT.
Tim Berners-Lee, who created the web, said at a web conference today in Paris that Europe's right to be forgotten rule is a bad and dangerous idea. He said the right to access history is important. Stephen Shanklin is a senior writer for CNET News and joins us now. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into Tim Berners-Lee's statements, can you summarize briefly the right to be forgotten?
So this is a rule that the European regulators have passed. Basically, what it does is it requires that sites like chiefly search engines, the ones that are most affected, people can complain if they think that there's some information on the internet that's irrelevant about them, that's out of date, that no longer needs to be out there on the internet, and they can file a request. And if it's deemed appropriate, then that has to be scrubbed out of the search engine. So this is called the right to be forgotten rule. And of course, the search engine companies don't like it because for them, it's kind of removing actual information that people might want to find. It's kind of controversial for that reason. But it also does give people some privacy. If there's something that happened long ago in their past, then it can actually be removed, and maybe it gives them a chance for a fresh start.
And just to be clear, that it's the search engine companies themselves that make the decision. Of course, those decisions could be appealed in a court of law later, but essentially Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, companies like that are the ones who decide whether it meets the letter of the law. And the other point that needs to be emphasized is the fact that this affects only the search results that come up when somebody's actual name is searched for. If you search for some other words and the person is involved, those search results are unaffected by the right to be forgotten.
That's correct. And also there's some categories that are explicitly protected, like journalism and free speech. There's some things like that. If you're a public figure, then you can't just request to have your information scrubbed.
Okay, so Tim Berners-Lee is an advocate for individual privacy. He speaks very passionately about privacy. Why does he dislike the right to be forgotten?
Well, he believes that there's a better way to handle the issue, which is through rules that actually constrain what people can do with information that's available. So his point is that if a lot of stuff can be removed from the internet, then it's gone forever. History can be effectively rewritten, and free speech rights can be infringed on, in effect. And so what he'd like to see is a different approach. Instead of removing the information from the internet in the first place, you constrain what can be done with it. So if there's something on your record from when you were a kid, if you had some conviction for some juvenile infringement, well, then an employer, for example, couldn't take that into account when they were considering hiring you or maybe giving you a raise or something like that. Or maybe some financial record, financial black mark on your record, maybe a bank wouldn't be able to take that into account if it were too far in the past. So this is similar to some actual rules that are out there, anti-discrimination rules. It's not a complete fantasy that he has this suggestion. Of course, it's very difficult to, tell people that they can't think about if you have a black mark on your record. It's hard to tell people just to ignore that.
Yeah, it's a tough problem to a certain extent. The problem exists because of the failure of search engine algorithms. I mean, if somebody did something as a teenager and then they've grown up and they've had a life that's been marked by different things that popped up on the web here and there, the search engine results for that person's name should show something that resembles a balanced picture of that person, not just the teenage indiscretions. And so it really is about, and it sounds like he's advocating, better search engine ranking algorithms. The problem is that lots and lots of people have their 15 minutes of fame in a negative context, and they really don't show up on the internet that much. I mean, some people can do an ego search and get thousands of links. Other people get 5 links. And if you're somebody who isn't really super active on social media and you haven't been in the news other than that one horrible thing that happened to you years and years ago, it's very difficult even for search engines to figure out how to use algorithms to present a balanced part of your life if your life is not, in fact, lived online. Does he suggest anything specific other than just generally speaking we need to find another way?
No, he was speaking very generally. He basically is an advocate of the rule of law. So his opinion is that society can choose what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. And his belief is that the way to handle this is through not by hiding the information, but by saying that that information can't be a factor. So, it's a fair point. I guess, from the other side, there are other factors, something you didn't mention, which is some people are victims of smear campaigns online. So not everything online is necessarily, something that's your own fault because you did something because you're an idiot when you were 16 years old. There can be people who are deliberately attacked. Now, ideally, the search engines can screen something like that out if there is false information. There's nobody out there arguing that false, defamatory, libelous information should stay up there on the internet if it's not true. So, I think that ultimately that's a big part of solving this problem is making sure that what is out there is the truth. But of course, when it's people talking about their reputations and their image, it's really hard to say what exactly is true. And that's why there are companies like Reputation.com that whose job it is to go out there and try to make you look like you have a good reputation online.
That's one of the things that concerns me about the right to be forgotten is that people who have the means to use reputation management services are going to disproportionately have their histories kind of scrubbed to the greatest extent possible through this right to be forgotten, whereas people who don't have the means or the time or the money or whatever are going to be less so. So there's an imbalance based on people's resources, which sounds...
Welcome to the problem of our age.
Exactly.
I don't think it's anything new that people with power have an easier time keeping their power and people without it don't. This is just, yet another instance of that particular societal difficulty.
Exactly. Now, there's a sense that's been discussed around this topic and other topics of a sensitivity toward cultural imperialism in Europe, especially in France. They're especially vocal about that. Now, the French Data Protection Authority is headed by Isabelle Falquet Perrotin. I'm sure that there's a real pronunciation out there somewhere. And she also heads the EU's group of 28 national privacy regulators. And she's really pushing for several things. And it seems to be driven by a kind of a sense that Europe and France need to be protected from American cultural influence as it appears coming from the web. Now, so there's this kind of nationalism thing going on. Tim Berners-Lee is a European. He invented the web while in Switzerland, I believe. The web, which is arguably the most important internet application and maybe even the most important application ever of any kind, is a European product, if you will. Are his objections to the right to be forgotten likely to be influential for that reason?
It's really hard to say. I think it's very interesting that he took this stance because generally his beliefs, and he's becoming increasingly political, even though he's a computer scientist, he's concerning himself much more in the affairs of politics, privacy, net neutrality, technical issues, but issues that involve people and rights and the right way to behave. So he has some clout in that department. And I think being European, he did invent the web 25 years ago when he was at the European Laboratory for Particle Research, a place called CERN near Geneva in Switzerland. I would disagree with you that the web is European, though. I think it really is global. And I think that's his view. I think it's a fair point. It's perhaps more Western European and American than, say, Latin American or Asian. But I don't think that he gets a special pass just because he was, the first days of the web began in Switzerland. I think he's going to have to make his case on the merits here. The Europeans do seem sensitive about the power of the American technology companies, Apple, Google, Microsoft. That's a continuing problem. I think, some of it is, economic worries and fretting that they're in the thrall of a foreign power. Nobody really enjoys being in that position. Look at how the United States views China right now. So I don't think that's that unusual, but in France in particular, there's certainly an urge to protect the culture. They have, a special ministry that creates new words so that American slang doesn't creep into the language quite so much. So that's kind of a continuing cultural trait. Frankly, I think the web breaks down a lot of those barriers. I live in France, and it's really hard for me not to look at the world as a global community to a certain degree, just because so much of what happens online is by its very nature not geographic.